And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison. Yes, we are always working on your financial freedom. I want to thank you for tuning in today. We say all the time that as real estate investors, we are different than conventional investors. And I'm going to spend the remainder of this show explaining our behavior and why it makes us successful. And what I want to get into is a subject called behavioral economics. This is fascinating to me. But behavioral economics is a branch of economics, and it conducts psychological experiments. And it wants, basically, the whole idea is to understand how people make economic decisions. Let's review the basics. We invest in cash flowing real estate. That is the primary reason we invest in real estate. And what we teach at Lifestyles Unlimited is single family homes and multifamily apartments. And yes, we buy apartments of all sizes. So an apartment, it's considered a multifamily property if a structure has more than five units. If it's got four or less, that is still considered a single family property, a fourplex, a triplex, a duplex. It's basically how the financing is set up, but more important than that, how you can structure that investment. If it's greater than five, it's a business. So if you have a five unit, an eight unit, a 12 unit, all the way up to those mega apartment communities that we see, 500 plus units, those are huge. Those are practically small cities. I don't necessarily invest in properties that size. We have had some leads take down some of that size, and they'll even tell you it was like managing a small city. I think once they do it, they shy away from that. We like to stick in that sweet spot, typically of nothing greater than, say, 300 units. But again, every investment's different. You've got to do your own analysis of that, and they work at all levels. So me personally, I'm invested in properties that, say, have a value anywhere from $2 million all the way up to properties that have a value of $50 million. And it's a beautiful thing. The resident moves in and they pay the rent, and then we pay all the associated cost of ownership. And the difference, what's left over, is cash flow. And that's tax-free for the most part if you set it up properly. And then we'll take those investments, right? You don't want just one, because each one is a small portion of buying your life back. So we'll take one investment, two investments, five, 10, 20 single family properties and multifamily properties or more. We have some passive investors that are invested in well over 50 different properties. And each of those gives a small piece back to you, that cash flow piece to buy your life back, one small piece at a time. We call that the cash flow snowball. Now, I will also share that when I meet people at a social gathering or what have you, and they don't know I'm a real estate investor, and somehow investing comes up in conversation often, most of those people my age or older will give me that side eye. And I know what they're thinking. They think I'm some sort of riverboat gambler because I'm not doing what they're doing. I'm not the mutual fund guy. I'm not the IRA guy. I'm not the 401k guy. But all of them are. And they tend to kind of give me that angle eye, or they go on and tell me some horrific story about taxes, tenants, and toilets. But I even have close friends and family that still, after all these years, they think I'm crazy. But I want to peer underneath. I want to open the hood and see what the other side does. I call that the conventional wisdom retirement plan, right? That on paper, it may look great, right? You only have to invest for 40 or 50 years. And then when you're 60, 65, 70, you can live this fantastic retirement and do everything you want with whoever you want, when you want. But I will also share, in reality, this plan fails for more than 75%, if not higher, than all of those who follow that plan. We're working more on a micro level, short term. Boom, I want to create that cash flow bump. Bam, bam, bam. And I want to keep adding those. Whereas everyone else is following a 40-year plan of monotony. That fails for most people. But what's the difference? The difference, we're going to get into behavioral economics, right? It's a fascinating subject. There's a great book out there. It's called Misbehaving, The Making of Behavioral Economics. It's by a gentleman named Richard Thaler, T-H-A-L-E-R. He's a Nobel Prize winner for economics. But essentially, his book explains how irrational investor behavior is driven by behavioral biases, and it leads to bad decision making. But if you can understand these biases, right, this is why I'm throwing them out there. If you can understand these biases, you can learn to avoid them or compensate for them. And we all have these, but these biases lead to irrational investment decisions. So the five biases that Thaler outlines are perception, loss aversion, herd behavior, availability, and the status quo. Let's talk about the perception bias first. The perception bias drives the price of an asset more than its actual and more than its practical value. The perception of value is a greater driver of price than the actual value of the asset. And even real estate has these cycles. Just look at the cost of single-family homes after the pandemic, right? In 2021, people could not buy houses fast enough. I sold a property in 2021. It was a nice house. It was an everyday house. We had really done a great job on the rehab. I had held it for at least 5 years as a rental property, and then came in and spruced it up, or as my wife would say, I zhuzhed it up a little bit and sold it. I had, I think, at least 10 offers on that property. It was insane, within a very, very short amount of time. And we sold that property more than I was asking. It was shocking. And that was 2021. Why was that happening? It was perception bias, right? Just the buy that house now because the price is going to be more later. People were hurrying to buy. It was a frenzy. And even investors got caught up in this in 2021. Perception is how crypto and a meme stock, M-E-M-E, it's how those things reached astronomical heights during 2021. It was stimulus-induced investing frenzy, and investors were snatching up crypto and worthless stocks, all on perceived value that these assets would be worth tomorrow than they are today, and it was pure speculation. And a meme stock, if you don't know what that is, M-E-M-E, a share of stock, it's a share of a company that jumps in price due to nothing more than attention and a dedicated online following. It's crazy. They gain popularity through these discussion threads and these community forums on social media platforms, and they skyrocket, right? Does GameStop come to mind for any of you? And by the way, if you haven't watched that documentary on GameStop, it's incredible what happened during the inflation. It's a fascinating story, but it's all perception bias, right? AMC movie theaters. What about non-fungible tokens? What the heck are those? NFT, non-fungible tokens. It's an image that someone created online. It's a cartoon or something like that. And people were paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for these things. There's no actual value or worth of all of those. Well, maybe one or two, these memes that they use it all the time, but it was just crazy. It's perception bias. Think about trading cards. I have a friend of mine and his kids are into trading cards, and they went to this trading card show a few months back that was going on locally. And he sent me a picture of two, listen to this, this is crazy, two Luke Skywalker trading cards. One was selling for $100,000 and the other was selling for $125,000. The value of those cards depended 100% on perception bias. So understand perception bias and understand how to recognize it, and you'll be a better investor. Now, the second bias, right? I think all of us have this in some form. Loss aversion. People have an aversion to losses, right? The fear of loss is greater than the joy of gain. Okay. The fear of loss is greater than the joy of gain. And as a result, people will make irrational decisions, right? They'll make irrational decision. They're buying into loss aversion, believing that high returns can only come from high risk. That's not true. That is not true at all. My conventional wisdom, stock market, 401k friends, they get into loss aversion. They invest solely in the 401k and the stock market and mutual funds, and they don't look at real estate because they see real estate as risky, as crazy, or as the resident's going to destroy it. And I tell you, if you know what you're doing, none of that stuff happens. None of it. I had an eviction once that I had to go through. Now, do some of the multifamily properties have evictions? Sure, it's part of the game, but they're prepared to do it. You have people that just don't pay the rent, and you go through the process and you move them out. And then once that person's out, get this, now we have an opportunity. We can fix up that unit. We can make it better. And then we can find the right resident and put the right resident in there and actually raise the rent. We can make more at the end. It's not always a bad thing. But with all my properties and all the years that I rented them, I had one eviction. Knock on wood, I've never had some tenant go crazy and destroy a house. Have I had to do some heavy lift on some rehabs on some turns? Sure, it's part of the game. You got to put new carpet in every 4 to 5 years. You've got to, maybe you have pets. The previous resident had pets in there. No big deal. I just call my guy. We get the carpet cleaned. We put the ozone machines in there. We get the smell out of there. But real estate investing, when done properly, is not risky. Not risky at all. When done right, it's the safest asset class that you can invest in. More on the other side on these various biases. My name is Mike Harrison.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa on how our educators and mentors share their knowledge.
The whole Lifestyles Unlimited team is just wonderful, and all the people in it is basically copying what I do so you could be successful.
Lifestyles Unlimited, over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297 and save 60%. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Mike Harrison. I'll throw my email address is askmike@luinc.com. Talking about investment biases, there's a great book called The Making of Behavioral Economics by Richard Thaler, Nobel Prize winner, and he talks about five different biases that guide people in their investment decisions, and it often guides them wrong. I want you to understand how to recognize these biases. I was talking about the second bias, loss aversion, and the problem with loss aversion is it causes some people to be too risk averse, and you may be thinking, well, Mike, that doesn't make any sense. You can never be too risk averse. Sure you can, because it means it will guide your investment decisions into investments that don't pay very much. They don't have much of a return. And loss aversion prevents people from considering alternative investments that may not follow that traditional risk return paradigm that can deliver higher risk adjusted returns than traditional investment assets. Real estate, anybody? Have you thought about that? But real estate investors are different. Do I have loss aversion? Yes, it's one of the main reasons why I invest in real estate. Now, I'll tell you, when I was younger, I didn't have much loss aversion, right? I was thinking, I need to make a lot of money in a short amount of time, right? And so I got into stock trading, not just as an investment, but it was the calls and the puts and the covered calls. And I wasn't a day trader. Thank God that I didn't get into that. But there was a part of me that absolutely considered it. I had there was a very famous guy that wrote several books about stock trading and all the different ways, and I had bought those books. His name was Wade Cook. Anybody remember that guy? He was essentially explaining methods to bet on stocks. Again, like I mentioned, covered calls, puts, options, all of that noise. Update, Wade Cook's in prison. Okay, in prison, but I didn't have any loss aversion then. I was more concerned about those higher risk returns. I didn't know about real estate, unfortunately. That would have been a game changer in my early 20s, would it not? I finally found real estate. But the whole idea behind loss aversion is the refusal to accept a loss. We have a rule here, never lose money. Never lose money. But back then, I didn't have that, right? In the late 90s, I bought a stock called Lucent. Anybody remember Lucent? It was one of the baby bells, right? They broke up AT&T. I believe they formed seven different companies. They called them the baby bells. So let me tell you a loss aversion in the reverse, right? I want to say I bought that stock at about $33. And then the stock started to tank, right? $28, $25, $22. Why didn't I sell? Because I had this loss aversion that, oh, well, selling is admitting it's a loss. So every day it got worse and worse and worse. And somewhere, I think it was $10 or $12, I sold how much? Half of my shares, right? I still didn't have the fortitude to admit the loss, right? I had loss aversion. I rode the rest of that stock down to something like 30 cents. What a loser. So I didn't have the loss aversion going into this crazy risky investment at the beginning. I was more driven by the desire to make money quickly. But then when it was going in the reverse, I was losing money quickly. I couldn't admit the loss. I was dumb, right? It was dumb. But loss aversion is real, my friends. Loss aversion is real. It comes up in those conversations when people find out that I'm a real estate investor and not a stock investor. These are the people that as soon as they find out, they're literally crawling over the sofa, knocking chairs down, elbowing their way through the crowd to tell you how their brother's cousin's nephew's third wife bought a rental property and what a disaster it was and how they lost thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. Do you know how many times I've lost money investing in real estate, a true loss? Keep in mind, between all of my single family properties, all the apartments that I participate in and have participated in the past, all the times I bought a property, all the times I refinanced a property, the sales, at least multiples, well over 50 different transactions. I lost money one time. I'm not going to say that it won't happen again, but I have so many and it will happen again. I know it'll happen. I lost money one time. I lost $18,000 on a $100,000 investment. It was a bad decision on my end with a bad lead. I had fear of missing out. I wanted to get into this property. This is when I first started real estate investing. Didn't do my analysis properly. It wasn't the property that was bad. It wasn't the location that was bad. And I wasn't the only passive investor in this deal. It was the lead investor that was bad. And it was totally avoidable. Shame on me. But the other 49 times that I've done this or whatever multiples, the different transactions, I made money each and every time, sometimes quite a bit of money. If you're affected by loss aversion, I recommend you become a real estate investor because for some reason, all those people in the conventional wisdom world, when they get their portfolio of all the mutual funds that they're invested in, if you dig deeper, you'll see some stocks, what they do, they went up, they gained in value. But what did the others do? They lost value. They lost value. And so the conventional, this is the paradigm, right? Everyone's in the conventional wisdom world saying that stocks and mutual funds and IRAs are the way. But when you drill down surgically and look at it, you're losing money. You're losing money. Doesn't make any sense when you think about it. Let's talk about that third bias. This one's called herd behavior, right? It's the most common of all the biases, right? It is the most common. It goes hand in hand with fear of missing out. It says investors are going to make decisions according to what the herd does. not because they think it's comfortable or safe, because they don't want to face the shame of missing out, and it's what everybody else is doing. Herd behavior has been the root cause of every investment bubble that has ever existed, my friends, every single one of them. Herd behavior is what drives 401k investing. It's what drives it, right? You get that job, and the first thing you do is you meet with the HR person, and you get all your paperwork in, and then they sign you up for the 401k right there. It's automatic. Everybody at work is doing it. All of your peers, that's reinforced through that herd behavior. There's meetings, right? When I was in corporate America, we had those meetings, I think twice a year, on the benefit plan, just to go over and review. How about the company match, right? If you invest 6% of your check each and every time into the 401k, we'll match 50% of what you put in there. That everyone's encouraged. It's herd behavior. You're all told this is the right decision. How about those companies that offer their own shares as compensation, right? What they're really saying is, I should be paying you more, right, on your paycheck. However, we're going to give you these company shares, right, to compensate you. And then they go, oh, by the way, the company stock's at $30 a share, but you can buy it as an employee at a discount, right? That should be illegal. It's driving the herd behavior, and your boss is saying, I bought X amount of company stock. I'm sure some of those folks even go, you should be buying the company stock, right? What about those people that purchased or were given Enron stock, right? All those employees that poured so much money into the company stock, and then it burned in, and thousands of people were crushed. But what a company saying when they offer you company stock is, they say, I really should be paying you more, dedicated employee, but instead I'm going to bait you on the old company stock benefits. I may even entice people to come work for our company because we provide discounts on the company stock, and the company you're leaving doesn't have it. Again, herd behavior, right? Everyone's going to tell you, wow, that's great. You got a job and they're going to give you X amount of shares per year. Fantastic. Good for you. What happens if a huge amount of your net worth is tied up in that company stock and the company goes out of business? It happens all the time. But the peer, the coworker, hey, Bob, are you taking advantage of the employee stock purchasing plan? The boss talking to everyone that works for them. I hope each of you is taking advantage of our employee stock purchase plan. They're trying to lock you in is what they're doing. And they're using that herd behavior. Let's talk about the fourth bias, availability bias. Availability bias. It says investors go with what's convenient and easy. Many people think real estate is not convenient or not easy. Nothing can be further from the truth if you're educated, but they think real estate hard, 401k easy, right? And they take everyone's word on this at face value instead of doing their own research, instead of making their decisions. They're making decisions based on what's convenient, what immediately grabs their attention. And so you'll see availability bias all over the place, right? It's reinforced through the internet, through social media. It's reinforced through your friends, your parents, your children, neighbors, colleagues, anyone else that's in your immediate friend and family group is sharing things that are easy, right? It's easier to invest in this. And so that information is it's not always completely accurate, right? So if you think you're caught up in this availability bias, you need to get all the relevant information, right, before you make that decision. I know young folks that invest in 401ks thinking they can just grab their money anytime they want, or IRAs anytime they want, and no. Many people don't even know this, but if you think your 401k money is easy and convenient, when you're 42 years old, go try to pull that 401k money out. It's not, you might not even be able to pull it out. Some companies may say, well, you can take a loan against it. But the big one is the government's going to say, nope, you can't have that until you're 66 years old, or we're going to penalize, or actually the number's 59 and a half. We're going to penalize you 8%. It's not relatively easy or convenient to get that money. I pulled all mine out. It was not relatively easy or convenient, right? As soon as you ask that question, human resources is going to get involved and they're going to say, why are you trying to pull money out of your 401k? The new hires, they may not know this. A lot of young people don't know it, but they think that participating in the company stock plan and the company 401k is easy and convenient until they find out they can't get that money. But they're doing what's easy and convenient, right? Just take a certain percentage of my check, pull it out and put some into the value fund. Let me click this button on the screen here. Put some into large cap, put some into small cap, put some into growth and income. It's all available right there, and they're doing it because it's easy and convenient. Now, real estate. Let's go back to that. Let's pivot to real estate. Is real estate information out there? Is it easy and convenient? Yeah, there's real estate information out there that's easy and convenient, but I'll tell you, it's not always right. It's not always correct. Some of these people that are telling you this plan or that flipping plan and blah, 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 and it sounds easy and convenient, but the dangerous side is it's probably not effective. It's probably not correct. And I thank myself every day that I found Lifestyles Unlimited because of the education, the proper way to do it. Do this, the roadmap. Don't do this. Literally, next to my marriage and the birth of my children, finding Lifestyles Unlimited was one of the best days of my life in following that plan because it's an easy, simple plan to invest in real estate. For me, real estate investing is easy and convenient. That last bias, status quo bias. The status quo bias. It says investors will stick to what's familiar, traditional, well-known, common. They're unwilling to try anything new. Those are my friends and family that think I'm crazy for investing in real estate. They know mutual fund investing, that sort of thing. My dad was a big bond investor. It was familiar to him. It's what he did. I did not follow that plan. We are guilty of behavioral biases, and it leads to less than desirable investment results more often than not. The successful investor takes the biases out of their decision. They have trained themselves to overcome the biases. Here, as a real estate investor, one of our biases, a bias that I had, was it was difficult for me to buy the distressed property, right? It was difficult. I had a loss aversion. I didn't think it was easy or convenient because we had to do this huge rehab until I met my GC and I found out, wow, it really is easy and convenient. I'm not doing the work on it. He is. He also taught me another saying. He said, it's not your house. It's your investment. Boom. Wow. That took the bias away from me right there. It took it totally away from me. So follow the five biases, understand the five biases, and you'll do just fine. Get educated is the simplest thing you can do, right? You don't want to just jump in and do it because Mike Harrison says, hey, invest in real estate's the greatest thing ever. Well, I'm telling you, it is, but I want you to get educated. I want you to follow the plan, and Lifestyles Unlimited has that education plan, and that education is going to allow you to be a smart investor. It's going to allow you to avoid the multiple biases that are out there, the status quo bias, the availability bias, the herd mentality bias, the loss aversion bias. It's going to allow you to overcome that and make smart investing decisions, right? You're going to avoid that perception bias by doing your homework and doing your due diligence. You're going to evaluate properties based on actual value, not perceived value, right? That's a big one. Just because someone's selling a property for X doesn't mean it's worth that, right? You have to do your own research. We run into this often in multifamily investing. I just had a lead investor, was looking at a property, and we had traded some notes on the property. I told him everything looks great, looks like something I'd be interested in purchasing. And once he got in there, he had to come back and say, hey, owner, this property's worth X, not Y, because he was educated. Always remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.